Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And now as we journey through this period, again we remember his great sacrifice for us, that we may have the hope of eternal life. And so, Lord God, we pray that you will go with us by your Holy Spirit through these 40 days and draw us closer to God. In Christ's name, amen. My sermon title today is, and I will try to be as brief as I can because we do have communion tonight, Find Your Own Spiritual Path. I read an article which says young adults wrestle with faith and prayer. And it goes, NPR interviewed a number of young adults who are drifting from organized religion. A 26-year-old participant named Carl Simpson grew up with Christian roots, but like many young adults, he has neglected his faith, although he can't quite get over it. Simpson said, "Last year, when I turned 26, I had a mini existential crisis when I realized, oh my gosh, what's going to happen when I die? Am I just going to end up in the ground and like everything I've worked for, all my memories are all for naught? I still have that feeling every once in a while in the stereotypical moments when you're like sitting alone in the dark and you can't go to bed and you start thinking about that. But I don't know if that's emptiness. That's more just a fear that I hope others have." When the interviewer asked, "Do you pray?" Simpson replied, "Yea, I do. And I don't know what to make of it because I feel like a hypocrite. But I only do when I'm at my most scared or my most fearful and my most vulnerable. And like I said, I don't know what to do with that because it really does not align with anything that I have said all day today. Yet I still find myself doing that." At the age of 18, Simpson got a tattoo on his arm that reads, and I may be pronouncing this wrong because it's the Latin, Acrucis Salus, Latin for salvation by the cross. When the interviewer asked, "Do you regret your tattoo?" Simpson replied, "No." The irony is, when I first got the tattoo, I remember thinking, "Oh, this would be great because I'm having troubles in my faith. This would be great because when I'm having trouble in my faith, I will be able to look at it, and I can't run away from it." And that is exactly what is happening. What this young man struggles with, he struggles with his faith, he struggles with prayer, etc. And that's like many of us. Many of us still struggle, whether we're 26 or 50, or we're 18, we struggle with our faith. But I submit to you today that we must find our own spiritual path. That struggling with our faith, struggling with prayer, is not sin. The whole idea of struggling alone means we're trying to draw closer to God. As we begin the season of Lent, many United Methodist pastors and other pastors will invite their congregations to observe a Holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's Holy Word. And that is directly a quote from our United Methodist Book of Worship. These are the things we are supposed to do. You may wonder, how are you going to, or how you are, may you observe a Holy Lent? But there is no one prescribed way, the writer says, no one prescribed way to observe a Holy Lent. Instead, we are each encouraged to find our own method of confronting our sinfulness, remembering our mortality, and giving thanks for the gift of salvation we receive through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And certainly because we are unique individuals created uniquely by God, we must find our own way. Instead of trying to pattern our lives off other people, I want to encourage you to find your own spiritual path. So the book of Joel tell us today, and it reads in verse 12 of chapter 2, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him?" And so we see in this Old Testament text that part of this discipline that we have at Lent, fasting, comes out of the Old Testament, and then it comes into the New Testament. It is as old as anything from Old to New Testament. And fasting is said to be one of the more common practices that we do, and that is to give something up for Lent. Some abstain from chocolate, social media, shopping, or something else through the season. And so, you know, we find ways find ways to feel like we're making a sacrifice. But is that required of everyone? No. Is that required? Is there anywhere in the Bible that the Lord says we must fast for Lent? Frankly, the word Lent is not in the Holy Word. And then we have prayer. And that's when Joel tells his people, weeping and mourning, and rend your hearts and not your clothing. It was in a time of prayer. They would be weeping and mourning before the Lord. Now, one must remember that the Israelites, in the time of Joel, when he prophesied, he was prophesying to them about some terrible things that were coming. The locust and the caterpillar. Destruction was coming on the land because of disobedience. And he was telling them to go to God, pray to God, fast, rend your heart, tear your garments, so that God would hear and relent. Right? So the idea of repentance, right, came out of the Old Testament. Repent before God, so God would hear and change. And so he wants them to do that, and we are going to be reminded again what Christ will tell us. And then we have prayer. In the busyness of our everyday lives, prayer can sometimes get squeezed out. We know that. Prayer gets squeezed out of my life sometimes. Even today, when I got up this morning, my phone rang, and I answered it because it was early, and I thought I should get it, and then I started talking to someone who had some issues. And then I remembered in the day that I never prayed. I never really prayed like I normally pray. So I just said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy." I said, "I'm coming to church tonight. I'll pray." So, you know, it gets squeezed up because I got busy within the day. And I had to run out to do a couple of things and run back here. And then I remembered, oh, I really didn't pray. And then I thought, I could just say, "God, have mercy." And that was my prayer for today, except for now when I'll be praying, I hope. So it can get squeezed out because of busyness. It's not intentional. It's not our plan. But during Lent, and this is Ash Wednesday, and that was my first foray into Ash Wednesday, I had hoped to get up and have this long prayer and talk with God, but God knows better, knows what happened this morning. So Lent is a wonderful time now to intentionally work toward finding more time in your life for prayer. You can experiment with different ways to pray during the season or really delve into a new way of praying. Enriching your prayer life is a great way to spend Lent. And then there could be Bible reading. Many of us have not read, you know, don't do a lot of reading of the Bible, but during Lent we could say, I will take a book of the Bible and read it, whichever book you choose. You know, you could use the upper room or the other one, I forget what it's called now, and then you could use that as your guide. We have the upper room here, the scriptures are there, and reflect on God. And then, of course, there is service. Another way to observe a holy Lent is to take is to take time to find a new way of serving. Throughout the 40 days of the season, you can adopt a new habit of volunteering in the community, making special financial gifts to service organizations, singing in the choir, participating in a small group. You could do any of those things during Lent. Step out of the norm and do something that you know will draw you closer to God. And of course, rest, an important practice with which many of us struggle, is spiritual discipline of rest or Sabbath. We don't rest often enough. And so we can rest during Lent, saying, I'm going to rest from shopping. You know, if you don't shop all the time, that could be a rest period. I'm going to rest from all that TV. Very difficult for many of us, right? There are things on television. Certainly we're in an election year, and we're tempted to watch and to hear and to listen. So we can do any of these disciplines, and that's what we're encouraged to do during Lent, to have a holy Lent. But Jesus comes into this picture in the Gospel of Matthew. And these are some hard words for Jesus when he begins here. He says that whatever we do, do not do it like the hypocrites. And that's a word, hypocrites. I should have really looked at the Greek to see what it means in the Greek. But we know in English what hypocrites mean, don't we? A person or persons who pretend to have virtues, moral or religious beliefs, principles, etc., that he or she does not actually possess, especially a person whose action belies stated beliefs. So we know what folks who are hypocrites do. We say one thing, and sometimes many of us, we have been hypocritical. I'm sure there are times in my journey as a human being, I've been hypocritical. Say one thing and do something else. And I will ask God for forgiveness and do it again. Sometimes I'm hypocritical in pretending that I'm listening to someone and probably I'm not. You know, we all get there and do that. So Jesus now says it, and if we're being true to ourselves, we would say that sometimes we've been hypocrites. You know, there are people who have never done anything wrong in their life, and they're holier than God himself. But for those of us who are not, Lent is the time to be drawn close to God. So Jesus says, and he's telling us, he's saying, you could do whatever you need to do, but beware. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And he's saying, just beware of all of this. And he goes down the list concerning giving, almsgiving. That whenever you give, just, you don't have to do a loud trumpet sound before everyone else. Don't be a hypocrite in the synagogues and in the streets so that you will be praised by others. Then he says, concerning prayer, that whenever we pray, do not pray like the hypocrites that stand up and so everybody has to see us at all times. And he's not talking about corporate prayer when we pray in the church, but that so we stand up and we are the only ones who could pray and our prayers are the only one who get answered. It's not true. We could all pray quietly, pray loudly. He says, don't be a hypocrite. And he says, concerning fasting, that whenever you fast, whenever we fast, do not be dismal like the hypocrites. Now, I know the first time many years ago when I first fasted, I told everybody I was fasting because I wanted them to be sorry for me. Oh, God, you know, I'm fasting. I can't eat. Till I got better at it. I would tell people, you know, I'm fasting. I can't go to lunch. I was that time in corporate, but I would let people know, I can't go to lunch with you today because I'm fasting. And they says, you what? I says, I'm fasting. And then there are times between the fast when I got a little bit hungry, I could get mean. And I thought God was probably looking down and says, go eat a piece of food, please, because I don't need for you to fast, you know. But I have graduated from that state. Now I'm a little better at it. I've given up a whole bunch of stuff for Lent, and somewhere in between, I'm asking God to strengthen me for 40 days. And if I get, now I've learned that if I get real hungry and miss something, if I wait for the Sunday to take a little piece of it, but if I really get real bad, I could what? Have a little peace, because God is not going to punish me because I didn't have a little peace. Now, Dick, I'm telling you, if you give up chocolate, you cannot have it. That's just the way it is. We have to give it up, and we have to. So this is our preparing ourselves. And then concerning treasures, he says, do not store up yourselves and treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up your treasures in heaven, where moth nor rust cannot consume. And so all of these disciplines that I've just mentioned, I just want to remind you tonight that whichever one you choose to do, whichever, even if it's to do journaling, there are people who journal during Lent. They reflect each day. They read one scripture and they reflect and they journal. They put their journeys down or whatever it is. But whatever you choose, find your own spiritual path to God. You don't have to look for anybody's spiritual path. You don't have to mimic mine. You won't be able to mimic mine because you won't know mine. But you don't have to say, this person is doing this and I'm going to do this. Or this person is more holy than me and they're not holy than you. It is not true. Because only God can see our hearts, right? Only God strip us down and see our heart. And that's why that song, hymn we just heard, that beautiful hymn from Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart, Lord. In me, in you, as you said to the, you will say to the Lord. And so whatever you do during Lent, don't be burdened by it. Choose your path. If it's to read the Bible, then do that. If that's not what you want to do, you want to pray, then pray. If you want to give up something and you want to do four things, then do it. If you can only give up one, do that. But do it with a heart that seeks the Lord. If it's one thing you can do it a heart that seeks God and seeks to be drawn closer to God, as the scripture says. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's all he asks. One thing we must do. And so during this Lenten season, I would encourage you, as you look forward to this 40 days, to find something that you can do that will give you more time to reflect. And like this young man that we read, who was interviewed, who doesn't quite get it anymore, doesn't know why he's praying, doesn't know why he has the tattoo, but he keeps doing it, and he keeps doing it. And one day, the Lord will speak to his heart. He knows that there's comfort there because our salvation is in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so we'll turn to the